Prosím, postaňme ke slyšení Božího slova. Bratr David nás osloví texty, které jsou zapsány v knize Genesis. Je to ten známý příběh o praotci Jákobovi, také z Janova evangelia, ale především pak z Žalmu 139. A tato slova připomenu. Hospodine, zkoumáš mě a znáš mě. Víš o mě, ať sedím nebo vstanu. Z dálky je ti jasné, co chci dělat. I sleduješ mou stezku i místo, kde ležím, a všechny moje cesty jsou ti známy. Ještě nemám slovo na jazyku a ty, Hospodine, víš už vše. Sevřel si mě zezadu i zpředu a svou dlaň si položil na mě. Nad mé chápání jsou tyto divy, jsou nedostupné, nestačí na to. Amen. Saďme se. A zaposlouchejme se do slova, které dnes tedy zazní v angličtině. Prosím, všichni máte možnost sledovat tento text a pro děcka zvlášť dneska mohou sami si ověřit, jak už angličtinu zvládají a my dospělí také.
A teď omlouvám se angličtinám. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. I grew up in the town of Stirling in central Scotland. It has an old castle, the second biggest in Scotland. Edinburgh, excuse me, has the biggest one. Like Edinburgh, Stirling has its castle on a hill, created by glaciers during the Ice Age, and has an old town stretching down the hill from the castle. There's a shortcut up to the old town and on to the castle. It saves you walking around the long way by the street, and it consists of a long stone staircase, which is quite steep. It's known locally as Jacob's Ladder. It will not be the only one in Scotland, and it's not the only one in the world. And the ECCB church in Kobylisi in Prague is called Jacob's Ladder Church. Because this story of Jacob, the story of Jacob and his dream of the ladder going up to and coming down from heaven, is one that has captured the imagination. It gives our mind's eye something to picture. And artists have tried to offer their own interpretation of the dream Jacob had of a stairway to heaven. But the idea of a stairway to heaven does not begin with Jacob. It begins with the Babylonians and their ziggurats. These temples were built to be high towers, built with different levels, built with a staircase connecting each level with the one above, and the staircases were on the outside of the building. And so the dream grows out of that built reality, a reality which is transformed not only into a ladder upon which one may ascend, but one upon which descent is also accomplished. Heaven comes to earth in Jacob's dream. And that is why in John's Gospel, virtually the same words are used by Jesus to describe himself. Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. In John's Gospel, Jesus is portrayed as the ladder, the way between heaven and earth, between time and eternity, between God and humanity. Jacob has his dream at Bethel, It's a significant place. It's mentioned more often in the Hebrew scriptures than anywhere except Jerusalem and Samaria. Bethel was visited by Abraham, who built an altar there and returned there after disgracing himself in Egypt. Bethel was captured by Joshua after the Exodus, recaptured by the Canaanites, then taken again by the Israelite tribes. Stirling Castle in my hometown also has a history of being captured and recaptured. But they're the ones fighting over it, well, the Scots and the English. The Ark of the Covenant was housed for a time at Bethel before being taken to Shiloh and later to Jerusalem. Bethel became the principal shrine of the northern kingdom of Israel, a rival to Judah's Jerusalem. In Bethel, Jeroboam placed one of his golden calves, and in Bethel, Amos preached a scathing sermon about false worship. And he says, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it." And in Bethel, Amos got into trouble for doing that. And Amaziah said to Amos, "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom." Bethel was an important place, a holy place, a place recognized as a place of God, but it had not always been so, at least not by everyone. Jacob woke from his sleep and said then, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Jacob goes to sleep quite unaware of where he is, quite unaware of the company he is keeping, quite unaware of where God is to be found. And in that, we might think, even today, he is not unusual. He's probably in the city of Luz, and it clearly has nothing remarkable about it. It's just a place like any other place. But on his journey, it's a place which seems to offer a place to pause, a place to catch his breath, a place to rest his head. And it's not even much of a place for that purpose. A rock for a pillow. A rock allegedly long and flat, stretched out across an open space. The kind of rock that could, in the morning light, in the enlightened tomorrow, be raised on its end and stuck in the ground to become a pillar, a monument, a marker of the discovery that all this time, all unknown, this was God's place. This was God's place, but all this was unknown to Jacob, but not unknown to others. Luz, this city through which he was travelling, was already known to the Canaanites as Bethel, the house of El, the chief Canaanite deity. And now, like other holy shrines in other places at other times, it becomes adopted, embraced, repackaged. So now it's not the house of El, but the house of God. The name, the house of God, is adopted and adapted from the Canaanites. But in the story of Jacob, it gives that other name as well. This is not only the house of God, it is also the gate of heaven. And this name takes us back to Babylon, back to the ziggurats, back to their stairways to heaven, back to the more correct name for Babylon, Bab-Ilani, which means gate of the gods. Jacob, we find, has gone to sleep in a place which may mean things to other people, but it certainly means nothing to him. The traditions of others, the understandings of others, the places of others, do not, he thinks, do it for him. His spiritual life, if he even thinks he has one, is not fed from these things. It's just a place to stop, a place to use, a place of convenience, but nothing of any importance, not to him. But he awakens to a different world, a world where he has been touched by a presence he had not previously suspected. It's a world where Jacob has to take seriously what has been special to others, but has never before been special to him. And the traditions of Canaan and of Babylon are subtly brought in to the tradition of Israel in the person whose name Israel will later take. Because Jacob discovers that the traditions of others do, after all, have something to say to him. The psalmist writes not of a God who is suddenly encountered in a special place, but of an omnipresent God, a God whose presence cannot be escaped anywhere, a God who is with us everywhere we go, from the womb to the tomb, from the highest place to the lowest. This is a God who knows us everywhere we go and knows us before we are anywhere. Knows us whether or not we know God, is interested in us whether or not we are interested in God. And this, in a way, is all too much for the writer of the psalm. Too much to take in, too much to understand. It's enough to reduce a mere mortal to silence, to wonder, and to praise. So there are, in these readings this morning, those two very different accounts of spiritual experience, different accounts of the discovery of God's presence. In the one, there's the setting up of a shrine, because of the experience of that presence in a particular place, the realization of a presence previously unnoticed and unaccounted for. In the other is the acknowledgement of the presence of God in all places and at all times. The presence of God in the air we breathe, in the ground upon which we walk, in birth, in life, and in death. That in itself should remind us that spiritual experience varies, and we should be extremely wary of anyone who tries to say that there is one spirituality which is valid and that all others are mistaken. We should not listen to any who say that one approach or one experience is in some way superior to another. But there's also a third account of spiritual experience, and it grows out of the other two, but offers a whole new idea of what such experience might be. In the Gospel, when Jesus meets Nathanael, Jesus speaks as one who knows him, who knows where he's been, knows where he's, what he's been doing, knows what he's been thinking. He speaks, therefore, as the incarnation of the omnipresent God of the psalmist, the one who knows us through and through, the one from whom there is no escape. But then, as we saw earlier, he goes on to offer an interpretation of Jacob's ladder, in which he himself is the ladder, the one upon whom the angels descend and ascend. So Jesus speaks of himself not only as the destination, but also as the road. Jesus takes ideas of spiritual experience and offers them to us in a human life, in a person, in the commitment of the eternal God to time-limited human flesh and bone. And he says to Nathanael and to us that the confinement of God to shrines, to particular holy places, has been overcome. He will later talk of himself as the new temple, one to be built in 3 days to replace the old, now scattered stones. And he says to Nathanael now that the invisible, omnipresent God is, in his particular life, made visible and made understandable. God is no longer too much, because God can now be experienced and understood in human life and in human struggle. The gate is open, the ladder is in place. Spirituality is taken away from the ethereal and the otherworldly and brought into the life of the world, the life of human solidarity. The life of God is one to be found walking our streets, our ordinary streets, the streets of no apparent significance, the streets which are simply the road from one place to another, but the streets upon which God can be found, upon which God may well find us, the streets which at any moment might be revealed to be the house of God, the very gate of heaven. These are our streets, the ones we have always known. They are the streets we pass through in a foreign land, streets others know better than we do. They are the streets people from other places pass through in our homeland, bringing them a new significance. They are all streets in which the Lord is present, the streets of Jacob's dream and the streets of Jacob's ladder. And yet somehow, like Jacob, often we do not know it. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Amen.